It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A quick heads up on our programming here. This month, every Tuesday at 8, we're producing a series about cooking tools and kitchen appliances. Our first installment had tips for using knives and cutting boards. And next up, it's the growing popularity of air fryers. Join us for Kitchen Advice Tuesday mornings at 8 here on the Ideas Network. This semester's classes will be the last at the two-year University of Wisconsin campus known by locals as UW-Richland. In the 3 months since the UW system announced the news, a group of supporters has rallied to save the campus, and local officials in other parts of the state are asking whether their two-year campus might be next. Rich Kramer reports.
It was standing room only in late January in a classroom at the UW-Platteville-Richland campus. The community was there to pitch ideas on how to save the school that has seen enrollment fall to just 60 students. University officials and state lawmakers were there to listen. Like most who spoke, Alicia Woodhouse had family members attend UW-Richland. She said the thought of losing the opportunity for local kids to get a college education without spending thousands of dollars on a dorm room makes her feel sick.
First of all, I want to say how hurt I felt when I heard that this campus was closing, because it really felt like we were not worth it. Like we had been discounted as a community.
Some speakers asked lawmakers to divert $4 million from the state's budget surplus to the campus. State Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwok, told the group he'd already mentioned the idea to some skeptical GOP colleagues.
So I am being brutally honest with you that I could probably persuade a few, but I know it would be a fruitless effort, because we would lose.
It wasn't the message community members wanted to hear, and the end of classes at Richland is already making other communities nervous. There are 12 other county-owned campuses like UW-Richland around the state, and they've all seen enrollment fall by an average of 57% over the past decade. During that time, state lawmakers cut $250 million from the UW system's budget. Since Richland's fate was announced, some county boards have delayed maintenance and upgrades at their schools. They want the UW system to promise that they won't close other campuses anytime soon. Marathon County Board Chair Kurt Gibbs says UW-Stevens Point at Wausau has been a critical source of quality education for the area, but the board is waiting for assurances before approving parts of a $6 million maintenance request.
Yeah, if the roof is leaking, we're going to fix the roof. There's no question. But when it comes to upgrading things effectively still in their life cycle, the board said, no, let's hold off.
Last month, a group of trustees made up of Outagamie and Winnebago County board members delayed a $4 million engineering study of a proposed dining facility expansion at UW-Oshkosh Fox Cities. Winnebago County Supervisor Stephen Binder told his board they need to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars.
Neither Outagamie County nor Winnebago County want to invest money in a building if we're not guaranteed that we're going to be there for at least 5 years.
UW officials say the Richland decision shouldn't be viewed as a sign of what's to come for other campuses. And Andrew Leavitt, chancellor at UW-Oshkosh, told WPR he has assured county leaders the Fox City campus isn't going away. Former UW system president Ray Cross hoped to delay these types of conversations when he merged the state's two-year and four-year campuses in 2018. The move saved money by cutting administrative staff, but that may have also come with unintended consequences. In Richland, locals say it meant the loss of their college recruiter. Cross wanted to merge the schools with the state's technical colleges, but the idea was fiercely opposed by local tech college boards. Now he says the legislature should have a conversation about making it happen.
Should we be like 95% of the rest of the states in this country and merge our technical and UW colleges? Is that the best solution? I think it is, but I doubt that they will have that conversation.
In a statement, the UW system said talks with community leaders around the state about the two-year campuses are underway. As for Richland, the statement doesn't suggest that the university will reverse its decision, but it does say a local technical college and high school could play a key role in the campus's long-term future. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you know if your child is in the right car seat and strapped in correctly? We discuss proper car seat safety and what to be aware of, as car accidents are among the most common causes of death in children. Call in with your car seat and booster seat questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Macy Williams is here, Safety Center Program Manager at Children's Wisconsin. Macy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start with recalls here. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration citing tens of thousands of recalls related to failing seat anchors. What can you tell us about how common recalls are?
Yeah, sure. So all car seat manufacturers create a card that comes with their car seats to have families fill out, that then if something were to happen like a recall, if they fill it out and they send it in, they will get notified if that recall is their seat, as well as, you know, as you said, there's lots of recalls that come down. So seats are tested to meet standards, but at times when things go wrong, there are some voluntary recalls that get pushed out to families that can then help get the parts and pieces of their car seats that don't work well and sent in for some new ones or some updated pieces if this is something that needs to be stopped getting used. So if their seats cannot no longer be used. And so families can find out if it's their seats if they go to www.nhtsa.gov/recalls to find out more if that is their seat.
So be always aware and kind of proactive with this. This falls along, I kind of think, the same lines. Like, car seats have expiration dates, and I've always kind of found that so curious, especially, you know, as a parent of multiples, we wanted to reuse and pass things down, and that's more difficult with car seats. Why do car seats have an expiration date?
Yeah. So all car seats have an expiration date because when you kind of think of just general wear and tear, seats get old and kids are jumping in them and you're moving around and you're installing them in different vehicles. And just the integrity of that seat just kind of is not the same as what it used to be. And so that is why car seat manufacturers like to put an end date on when that car seat can hold up to the same standards of when they first crash tested that model and that seat.
Okay, so it's making sure that there is the latest equipment on that seat and when it was last tested, which is then related to its expiration date.
Yeah, so it helps make sure, like, you know, if you have a seat that's sitting in a hot car and, you know, in Wisconsin, sometimes we can get some really hot temperatures. And if it's sitting in the hot sun, when you think of some of those, like, plastics, they can get warped and out of place. And so after a certain amount of time, those car seat manufacturers like to say that typically the seat might not hold up to the same standard that it once did before.
We hear of some really awful accidents where children are seriously injured or worse. Can you walk us through the stages of child safety restraints and when a child is ready for the next step?
Of course. And so there are lots of different types and models of car seats. And so really what we like to look at is rear facing, where their face is facing the back of the car, and then forward facing. And so when you're looking at that rear facing mode for Wisconsin law, it's typically 1 year old and 20 pounds. However, we like to promote best practice, which is usually at least the age of two. And then also looking at that car seat's maximum height and weight requirements before you would be turning them forward facing. And then when you are turning them forward facing in a 5-point harness, so that means that they have five different connections. It's kind of like that typical harness that you see. We like to typically look at 4 years old and 40 pounds. But again, we say best practice would be to max out that height and weight for that seat. And so a lot of times it's like looking at, oh, it goes up to 50 pounds or 65 pounds, and looking to make sure that their ears are below the top of the shell for lots of seats. It just kind of depends on what that seat requires, but we like to look at those maximums so you're keeping them in longer. And then there's one more stage before you're going to just a seatbelt, and that's your booster. Mm. And so your booster likes to just pump, push them up a little bit higher so that seatbelt really hits in the correct spots. And you're looking for Wisconsin law, that would be 8 years old or 80 pounds or 5 feet 9 inches. But best practice we say is something called the 5-step test, which is something that can be found on our childrenswi.org/car seat page that talks about making sure that that seat belt in the car is in the middle of their shoulder, resting in the middle of their chest, and that the lap portion is over their hip bones and not the stomach.
Do you find that parents move their child to the next stage too quickly in car seats and in boosters? Because once you turn them around, it's like it changes their vantage point in a huge way. And that is a big step.
It is. It is a really big step. And we do find that families are often ready to move their kids on to the next stages. And a lot of times if their friends are doing it, then they want to do it too. So there's sometimes that peer pressure from the kids. But, you know, kids grow at all different stages. And so we say, you know, really waiting until they hit that 5-step test to be out of the booster is really that best for those crash dynamics to make sure that they're safest in the car.
There are statistics that say that car seats are installed wrong a lot of the time. What common mistakes do people make when installing them?
So with car seats, there is never just really one straight way to install a car seat. You know, you were talking about that recall before had stuff to do with their lower anchors. And that is something that is one way that you can install a car seat, but it has some different regulations around weight. And then there's another version, which is the seat belt. And just because there are so many different ways to install a seat, that's kind of where we land on some of those mistakes. And so there's people that use both the lower anchors and the seat belt, and lots of times car seats only want one. Sometimes parents and caregivers forget to lock the seatbelt. It just, you know, there's so many different pieces. It's sometimes hard to remember every single way to make sure that it's completely correct.
I always think about, I mean, you just crank on that car seat to get it into those anchors. And I'm just like, you got to just let go that the back seat will ever look the same again in terms of the cushion. You know, you just got to let it go. Like your back seat is now a car seat venue. It is not about the aesthetics of the contour of your back seat.
Yeah, it is. It's like you have to get a pretty tight install. You know, we don't want that seat wiggling more than an inch side to side or front to back. And so that's kind of our general rule of thumb, is we like to tug on the seat and show the families how for that. But yeah, it definitely is pretty tight in there. And, you know, once kids are back there, you get all their snacks and all of those pieces that kind of change your back seat look forever.
What about winter gear? Because you want to bundle them up, and yet that can also impede the safety of the car seat. What do you suggest there with coats?
Yeah, so we like to say you really want those thin layers. And so something like a light fleece or something that you can layer on that doesn't add too much extra in between the child and that harness. So we have a puffy coat sheet on the same website that I mentioned before, childrenswi.org/car seat, that just kind of talks about the general rule of thumb of what to look for. And what we really like for the family to try, if they're curious to see if the coat is too thick, is to put the kid in the coat, put them into the car, tighten it as they would, which you want to make sure that you can't pinch that harness. That's how you know that it's tight enough. And if you take them out without loosening that harness, and then you put them back in without that coat, if there's any extra slack in that harness where you can actually pinch it, then you would notice that it is too puffy of a coat to be it putting your child in before you harness them in. Instead, you can harness them in, put some blankets on them, put some layers over the harness with the hat and some gloves to keep them snuggled in for the ride.
That's a great experiment there. It's Car Seat Safety from Children's Wisconsin, which runs a comprehensive car seat program as part of its Safety Center program managed by Macy Williams. Colin, with your questions, your experiences with car seats, booster seats, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get advice on car seat safety and help with questions about installing car seats correctly and booster seats. Still time to ask your questions about child passenger safety and buckling up little ones. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Macy Williams with us, Safety Center Program Manager at Children's Wisconsin. Macy, let's look at state law versus, more stringent safety practices, because it seems like there's a bit of a disconnect there. How do our state laws compare to what, safety professionals, injury prevention professionals, and doctors say?
Yeah, so we typically like to look for a little bit more, some longer years that the child should be in a car seat. And so, I mentioned previously that like rear facing, the law just is 1 year old and 20 pounds. When you think of a 1 year old that's 20 pounds, they're actually quite small still. And so realistically, we like to have them in those seats longer. And so that's why we would really like to look at best practice and would really like to look for legislation to slowly move towards having some stricter laws that allow for those children to be in those child restraints longer, just to help make sure that we're keeping them in the safest way possible when they're traveling in the car.
And why is a rear facing position a better situation in a crash for those littlest ones?
So when you think of a baby and you think of their neck and torso control, and they don't have the same muscle development, they don't have the same bone development that the rest of us do when we're sitting and growing. And so they don't have the same strength behind to keep their head in a nice, safe location when there's in a crash. And there's so much force in a crash that everyone kind of gets thrown around, and keeping them in the rear facing mode, how the seat cradles them in the crash is the best for, when you think of just basic like whiplash, just some of those pieces for their head and their neck. It's just the safest.
There's one safety group that says children shouldn't sit in the front seat until age 13. Let's look at a little bit of the older age group, if you will. How do we know when that time is right?
Yeah. And so that's kind of looking more at those boosters. And so that is kind of when you look at to make sure that that seatbelt in your car is really hitting those kids in the right spot. So when you are looking and they're sitting with their seatbelt, if that lower lap portion is on their belly in any way that is not where it should be in a crash, it will then really basically smush all of their soft area. And that can be a risk in a crash. And so you really want to make sure that when you're having them in a seatbelt, that it is hitting them at some of those harder points in their body. So their hip bones, and you want it in the middle of their shoulder, not on their neck. And when you're looking at moving them to the front seat, that's a lot at looking at those airbags. So airbags are tested against adult proportions. And that's kind of why they give the general rule of thumb of that 13 years old. We really want them looking and having some more of those adult like characteristics in their body, so that when an airbag, if it were to be deployed, it doesn't, completely smush them the same ways that it might if it was a child.
We're talking about child passenger safety, car seat safety as well. Macy Williams here, program manager of Children's Wisconsin Safety Center. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Macy, car seats can cost hundreds of dollars. What resources are available to help lower the cost of car seats?
Sure. So it just kind of depends where you're located in the state for the different resources that are available. Children's Wisconsin is one of the people that does help offer some resources around the Milwaukee area. And so there is a low-cost car seat distribution service for those children's patients that are looking and need some support with car seats. And then when you're looking and turning it statewide, Safe Kids WI.org is a good site to look at some different car seat fitting stations, which can help you at least get your car seat fit and appropriately sized for your child statewide. And then at times there are some other options to help you know, get those resources out and to find for some support with car seats.
Do you have any tips on how to properly clean a car seat? Because they don't get dirty at all. Never.
Right? They get
not
disgusting.
A Cheerio in sight.
Definitely. So every manufacturer of just how you install those car seats, everything is different in how they want them cleaned. So really it's reading those manuals or looking on those manufacturing websites for how to take off that cover and make sure that you clean them gently and not using anything that's too harsh. Typically, a lot of the times it's like, you know, some warm water and a rag, and that's how you can wipe down some of those harness straps when they get really gross from, you know, juice spilling and all of that.
How can we adults be better role models with car seats? How can we emulate what habits we want our child to develop?
Yeah, that's, you know, really great. Children really watch what their caregivers are doing in front of them. So just wearing that car seat and emphasizing when you're putting them in the seat that, like, you know, this is really safe. This is really, you know, something that we're doing to protect you, and just being that role model in the car of every time when they're buckling up, you're buckling up, so that it, you know, is something that everyone is making commitment to do in the car.
Macy, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Macy Williams is Safety Center Program Manager at Children's Wisconsin. We have a link to their Safety Center. It's at WPR.org/mornings. And for disclosure, Children's Wisconsin is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.